Welcome to lectionary at lunch. I'm Paul Robbie, and it's my privilege to take you through the appointed Old Testament lesson for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. It comes from the great prophet Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 16 to 29, and it's paired with the pericope from Luke 12, where Jesus says he came to cast a fire on the earth to cause division within families. The Jeremiah 23 passage is a very important passage for understanding the work of Jeremiah and also the work of a true prophet as opposed to a false prophet. We live in a day and age where there are a lot of religious voices in the marketplace. Religious voices all over the place. Follow this path, follow that path. How is one to distinguish among these voices? And Jeremiah 23 can give us some help on distinguishing the true voice from the false voice. Now, it's not as if false voices make it easy. Remember Jeremiah's great debate with Hananiah. Hananiah, of course, was a false prophet. But it's not as if Hananiah began his message with the preface, "Now, I just want to tell everybody I'm a false prophet," and now he proclaims his message. No, Hananiah says, "Thus says the Lord," yada, 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 and he sounds just like a true prophet. So, same way in our context, there are a lot of voices. Each voice claims to be the truth. Nobody claims to be wrong. Nobody claims to be false. But it's up to the ears, up to us, to figure out which voice is true, which voice is false. And that takes discernment. That takes some theological ability, some intentional theological discrimination. And Jeremiah can help us develop that. Jeremiah 23, then starting at verse 16, it begins with the messenger formula, Ko Amar Yahweh Tzevaot. Thus spoke Yahweh of hosts, that's Yahweh of the heavenly armies, the commander-in-chief of the whole host of heavenly armies. Don't listen, plural, do not listen upon, Al is often interchangeable with El, upon the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. Now that second Ha, Nivaim, is a Nifal participle. This root Nava occurs in the Nifal and it means to prophesy. Who prophesy to y'all, and then here is the direct object. Ma Bilin. You can see the root Haval that's related to the noun Hevel, as in Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, Hevel Havalim, Hevel Havalim, Kol Hevel, all is vanity, says the Lord. So this is those who cause vanities, who fill, and then Ephkem is the direct object, who fill you with vanities. Hevel is a vapor. It's a mist. Ephemeral, no substance, disappears, here today, gone tomorrow. We often translate this vain hopes, false hopes, empty hopes, vaporous hopes, chasing after the wind. These false prophets, oh, they paint a good scenario. They make people happy. But those are false hopes that will not turn out. They'll be dashed to pieces. So don't listen to those prophets who fill you with vain hopes. Chazon libam, the vision of their heart they speak. Lo mipi Yahweh, not from the mouth of Yahweh. So that's the first distinguishing mark. They're speaking their own heart. They're not speaking from the mouth of Yahweh. They made it up, in other words. False prophets make it up. They give you their own opinion. They give you things based on their own human reason. But it's not from the mouth of Yahweh, and we don't want to hear human opinion. We want to hear what the Creator has to say. Can somebody in the room tell us what the Creator has to say? Verse 17, O Marine, those who speak amor, that's an infinitive absolute, and when it follows the verb, it means continuously. Those who speak continuously, they're always speaking, lim na'atzai, to my despisers. That's a PL participle of na'atz, and the I on the end is the pronominal suffix, to those who despise me, those who spurn me. To my despisers, they say, Yahweh said, peace will be for you. That's what they say. Yahweh says, peace is for you. Of course, Jeremiah is trying to warn Jerusalem. The Babylonians are coming, and the place is going to get sacked. What are you talking about, peace to you? We are in trouble. Jeremiah is trying to convince the people that they're on the Titanic. You're on the Titanic, people. And of course, these false prophets are saying, let's party, everything is fine, Yahweh likes us. So that's what they say. And everyone who Holek walks in the Sheriruth, the stubbornness of his heart, they say, what do they say? What do they say to that person? Lo tavo alekem ra'a. Ra'a is simply a general word for disaster, bad things. It doesn't mean ontological evil, it's just bad things, disaster. Disaster will not come upon you. So, to those who despise Yahweh, they tell them, no worries, everything is fine, no disaster will come upon you. And yet these are the people who despise Yahweh. So they are giving comfort to what we would call carnally secure sinners. In other words, we learned from Walter, these false prophets were not properly distinguishing between law and gospel. To the people of Jerusalem, the stubborn sinners of Jerusalem, they needed to hear the law in all of its severity. That's what they needed. Instead, they're getting health, wealth, and happiness gospel. They're getting prosperity gospel. They're getting everything is fine, peace, no problems. Verse 18, 4. Who of these prophets, stood in the council of Yahweh? Sod of Yahweh, that's the throne room of Yahweh. A prophet is caught up into that throne room, overhears the proceedings, and then proclaims the message down on earth to the people. And these false prophets were not in the council of Yahweh. They are self-appointed. Who stood in the council of Yahweh that he may see and that he may hear? This is from Ra'a, and it's a jussive form after a simple wow that indicates a purpose clause, that he may see it, that he may hear his word, namely Yahweh's word. So they weren't really in the council to hear and see and hear Yahweh's word. Of course, a prophet sees a vision, he also hears the voice of Yahweh, both together. And that's what they proclaim. Who paid attention, this is Ahiphilo Kashav, who paid attention to his word, read with the K-ray there, to Yahweh's word, and heard it? They didn't, none of them. None of these false prophets actually heard it. Here's what the real story is. It's not peace and security. It's not no disaster will come upon you. It's quite the opposite. Terrible things are coming upon Jerusalem. Verse 19, behold, Sa'arath Yahweh, the storm of Yahweh. So that's what the prophet sees. The storm of Yahweh. The storm of Yahweh is gathering its strength and might. The hurricane is about to come. And this is Yahweh's hurricane. Kema Yatza'ah, the wrath has gone forth. And Sa'ar, a storm. Mith Kolel, this is from Chul, and it's a Hith Poleo participle, is whirling back and forth. The storm is whirling about. Upon the head of the wicked, it will whirl. Same root, but that's a call. So this storm is coming upon the head of the wicked. That's what the true prophet says. That's what Jeremiah, that's the real story. And the true prophet tells the truth. One of the things about a true prophet then is when the situation calls for bad news, the true prophet gives them bad news. He tells it to them straight. He doesn't sugarcoat it. It's just the straight stuff. Lo Yashuv Af Yahweh. The wrath of Yahweh will not turn. Will not turn away. Until Asotho, until he does, and until Hakimo, he establishes. Those are both infinitive constructs. The first one is from Asa, to do. The second one is a Hifil of Kum, to raise up, to establish. Until he establishes, Mazimot Libo, the intentions of his heart. This Mazimot is a noun. It comes from the root Zamam, to intend, devise, design, purpose. So Yahweh will not turn away from his wrath until he actually accomplishes the intentions of his heart. He intends to bring destruction and disaster, and that's what's going to happen. And the people are kidding themselves to think that they can get out of this Babylonian vice grip. They are the Babylonians are their future, and Jeremiah wants them to face it, face reality. At the end of the days, in the end of the days, in the latter days, after all of this is over, Tith Bonanu, you will understand for yourselves. This is a Hith Poleo of Bean, Boon, and it's second masculine plural. You all will understand for yourselves, Ba Bina, with understanding of it. It is often a feminine singular. So after it's all over, then you'll understand. Then you'll know what's going. Then you'll know what happened and why it happened. Verse 21. I did not send the prophets, talking about these false prophets, but they ran. This is from the roots. So apparently, a true prophet was expected to kind of run from place to place, to be eager to tell the word of God. Habakkuk chapter 2 talks the same way. Write the vision that the herald may run with it, that he might run apparently from village to village with the vision. So, but God did not send these prophets, and yet they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. They prophesied anyway. So, this tells us that one of the distinctions between a true prophet and a false prophet is a true prophet is called by God. He's not self-appointed. So we also emphasize it, the initiative begins with God. Verse, and how much comfort that gave Jeremiah when he met resistance. I did not appoint myself. God conscripted me. I got drafted. Verse 22, if they had stood in my counsel, they would have, here's a wonderful contrary to fact condition, they would have caused my people to hear my words. Here's a good example of a hifil of Shama, to cause to hear. Ami is the direct object. They would have caused my people to hear my words. And they would have, this is a hifil of Shuv, Normally there's a yod in the middle, but this is a short form. They would cause them to turn back, shuv, they would cause them to shuv from their way, hara, their wicked way, and from roa, the wickedness or the evil of their deeds. Here's one of the distinguishing marks of a true prophet versus a false prophet. You can see it in the impact that the ministry has on sinners. It's the impact criterion. True prophets lead sinners away from their sinful ways to Yahweh. False prophets confirm sinners in their sinful ways. False prophets tell the carnally secure, everything is fine, keep acting that way. True prophets try to lead them out of the ditch of sin onto the highway toward Yahweh. So, what impact is the ministry having on sinners? That's the question. Not how many people are there, but what impact is the ministry having on sinners? That's the key criterion. And we could use that criterion in our day and age as well. Verse 23, is it the case that the God of from near I am? Am I the God of from near? Utterance of Yahweh, and not the God of from afar. So in other words, am I not the transcendent God? Don't I know what's going on here? Verse 24, if a man hides himself, a good example of a niphal used as a reflexive, if a man hides himself in hiding places, do I not see him? Another question. Utterance of Yahweh. Of course, Yahweh can see him. These false prophets are not kidding anyone. The people who are trying to avoid the coming disaster are not fooling Yahweh. Is it not the case that the heavens and the earth I fill? The answer is yes. Just like Greek, also in Hebrew, when the interrogative begins with a hey, the answer is no. When the interrogative begins with a hey, lo, the answer is yes. Is it not the case? Yes, it is the case. So, Yahweh fills the heavens and the earth. Nobody can pull the wool under him, over him. Verse 25, I heard that which the prophets say who are prophesying by my name, Sheker, a lie, saying, I have dreamed, of course, they're claiming to be a prophet who had a dream from Yahweh. How long is it the case that there is in the heart of the prophets who prophets who are prophesying of the lie, and the prophets of deceit, and the prophets of the deceit of their heart? So how long is it that they are doing this? Verse 27, those who think, participle of kashav, to cause to forget, to cause my people to forget my name. So that's their real aim, that's their real intent. They're trying to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams. Who a man tells to his neighbor, which they tell a man to his neighbor, their own dreams, not the visions of Yahweh, just as their fathers forgot my name by Baal. So they're repeating the previous generation. They're forgetting my name just as others forgot my name by Baal. So these false prophets are causing the people to forget Yahweh and his name. Of course, Yahweh's name means everything that Yahweh is about. His whole character, his actions, his word. Verse 28, the prophet who with him there is a dream, let him tell a dream. But the one who my word is with him, let him tell my word. Emeth, truth. In truth, faithfully, emeth is often used as an adverb. we would say faithfully, truthfully. So we talk about proclaiming the Word of God in its truth and purity, right? It's common Lutheran cliche. We're interested in the proclamation of the Word of God in its truth and purity, because only the true Word of God can actually help sinners. What is there belonging to straw with grain? What is there belonging to straw with grain? In other words, what do straw and grain have in common, the utterance of Yahweh? And of course the answer is nothing. What does truth have in common with falsehood? Nothing. What does a true prophet have in common with a false prophet? Nothing. It's like trying to mix straw and grain. So get rid of the worthless straw and attend to the beneficial grain. Verse 29, is it not the case? Thus, my word is like fire, the utterance of Yahweh, and like a patish, like a hammer which shatters, sala, a rock. Of course, patsats, to shatter into pieces, which shatters a rock into pieces. So God's word is this strong, powerful word that is like fire, that's that is like a hammer. It breaks down old, stubborn hearts, and it causes sinners to repent. And by repenting, then they turn to Yahweh and receive life, for Yahweh is the God who gives life, but only on His terms and in His way. And yet the glorious good news is that He does give life. Seek Yahweh and live. Don't seek the ways of falsehood and die. That's our Old Testament lesson for today, and I now turn over to my colleague, Dr. Jim Veltz, for the Gospel lesson.